And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that also once this show is aired, you can go to our website and you can listen to it again there. I know a lot of people say, oh, I listen to it in the car on my way home, and sometimes you get home and it's not over yet. So if you want to hear the end, go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can see photographs of who's been on the show and a little kind of bio, and you can listen to the shows. And while you're on the NAGB website, you can also check out our calendar because we have a lot of free movie screenings. We have a lot of talks outside of the exhibitions that we have and change regularly. I know some people sometimes come and they're surprised that there's something different on. So we do change shows like every 3 months. So there really always is something new to see at the National Art Gallery. It is free on Sundays for all Bahamians and all residents in the Bahamas. So there's no reason not to come. So while you're on the website, check it out and come down and look at some art or look at a movie or something. I am talking tonight to a good friend and a colleague of many, many years, Camilo Alvarez. Camilo Alvarez is a Dominican-American who had an art gallery for a long time. He's just closed it. And we've just been talking about his career path and growing up as a person of color in the art scene in the United States, which, hasn't been that open and is becoming more open. So, we've been talking about that experience, the experience of having a gallery. How was it? Because I would imagine part of being a dealer is relationships, right? So you have to make relationships. Absolutely. With people and with museum curators to get your artists into shows. Mm-hmm. Of course, the collectors and the audience. And, you're in Boston, which is known for being like a pretty kind of, very white northern city. How hard was it to develop relationships? So, what kind of barriers did you feel, and how did you go about breaking those?
Yeah. So luckily, I had worked in the New York art world, mm-hmm. Which is the center of the contemporary commercial art world of the U.S. And, I always saw it as this trifecta. It was always press, acquisitions, and, audience. Mm-hmm. So building those three things, again, to create value, I'm not talking about the financial value, but that mm-hmm. is part of it, of course, supposedly, but it's cultural value. You have mm-hmm. to get the work sensed. So, of course, press, getting the work written about, spoken mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. people on the radio. Mm-hmm. then also, of course, the audiences, different mm-hmm. audiences, especially in Boston, there's a strong student population and mm-hmm. they're like sponges and they come from all over the world and, you influence them. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to their respective countries or cities and they spread the good word of Samson. By mm-hmm. the way, the name of the gallery was Samson Projects.
Yeah, so why was the gallery called Samson Projects? I always thought it was your hair. Because he's got really long hair, right? He's got these beautiful locks. And I always thought like Samson and Delilah
exactly.
and the strength in your
that
hair.
Was part of it, conquering the Philistines.
Right.
But then I used to have a really big dog whose name was Samson. And then, I was born in New York, born and conceived in New York during the Summer of Sam.
Okay, Son of Sam, sure.
Of Sam.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
What's in a name? I'm not that narcissistic to go as Camilo Alvarez, contemporary.
Yeah. It wasn't
And on top of that, a man of color's name, it was like, ooh, I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, so building those audiences, of course, students, but then, of course, collectors, acquisitions. Acquisitions have to happen to institutions, museums. And, as it's growing, also financial companies, corporations, et cetera, but then also individuals, key individuals that are hopefully part of museums and
trustee groups. Yeah.
And they have really, high potent friends. They have high connections. And hopefully they also give the work to mm-hmm. their respective
institutions. Because what you're talking to, and I think this is this is why it's kind of an important conversation for our country, too, because I think what you're speaking to is the work of a dealer, which goes far beyond. Like, I think a lot of people outside of the Bahamas, a lot of people everywhere in the world, and I see people do it. They're like, they think that having a gallery is just selling. Opening doors, having walls, and putting nails in and selling to
and
people
waiting.
To people and waiting and selling. But it's much more than that. So you're speaking to building a canon. You're speaking to making sure that artists, it's not just about selling their work, but they're going to be in the history books. They're going to be part of the discourse. They're
Absolutely.
Going to be in 100 or 150 years when people are writing art books, that the artists you represent are in those art books. And that's a very different thing. And that's a very serious dealer. That's a very serious kind of gallerist.
Well, so you just said dealer and gallerist.
Yeah,
and
well, they're different things. There is a difference, yeah.
I mean, for me, coming from the Bronx, the word dealer has a very negative connotation to it. So I always preferred the term gallerist because it is a more of a environment creating, you know, mm-hmm. kind of cultural contributive sort of scenario. That's always been part of it. And people say I'm still selling, but yeah, I am selling to you an idea. Sure. Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. want to go, if you, that's how you were going to understand it. Sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's definitely these objects are carriers of ideas, and they will, you know, I don't think anybody owns art. I think we just kind of take care of them. We're stewards of them.
We're stewards. Yeah.
The ideas are that are really what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
So to, you know, really kind of have good conversations with people, you affect them to mm-hmm. the core.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you can be acquisitive, mm-hmm. but that's ephemeral. Money comes and goes, but these ideas stay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And you spoke about art, you know, about that experience you had at the first, you know, Jean-Michel Basquiat show that you saw at the Whitney, of it being the great equalizer. Now, also, you know, when you look at certain, you know, art fairs, art scenes, you know, you can also see that they're very elite.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance those two kind of thoughts in your practice, in your head?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's working, it's doing studio visits constantly. It's, you know, exposing yourself to different cultures. It's, you know, working with curators that are just starting out. It's working with other gallerists, other small, you know, mm-hmm. emerging dealers. It's working with new collectors that are just buying their first, you know, it's, you know, I think it's the newness of it. But then in turn, it's also looking to the people who have done it a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking to your elders is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing your research. I mean, I was just sifting through that book at the NAGB of the Caribbean catalog that came out. Mm-hmm. And I had completely forgotten that I had contributed to that catalog.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's an image in there by a Dominican artist. And I had sold that piece to the, you know, Museo del Barrio in New York, and they credited my gallery. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And so you actually did do the work of getting that artist in the canon, because
yeah.
that artist is now in the Museo del Barrio and is in the catalog and will forever be part of that. Yeah.
And that artist, you know, he was cozied up in his studio. He's got a beautiful studio in the Colonial Zone in Santo Domingo. And he is kind of a Luddite, didn't have email. And I made that happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
I went and had the work photographed. Paid mm-hmm. for that, you know, and then, you know, hey, sold it to his, I think it was maybe his second or, actually, I think it was his first international acquisition. So mm-hmm. it was just like, I mean, those kind of firsts are really make me mm-hmm. hyper excited,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many emerging artists that I've been their first, you know, I've been their first sale.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've sold their work into a museum, and that was their first institutional acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
That's special, you know, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you then, you know, then you got to follow it up with, hey, the curators that are there, oh, let me remind you that this work is in your collection.
Mm-hmm.
What are you working on in the future? You should bring this one out.
You're right, yeah. So you basically never stop working for that piece of art, even once you've sold it. And
absolutely.
I think, again, that goes to speaks to the work of a gallerist as opposed to a dealer.
Yeah.
And that is a much deeper profession. And I think gallerists, you know, they get a bad rap a lot of the time because, again, people say, oh, it's just about the money. Like somehow when you're, and it's interesting for me because I've been an art critic. I've been a journalist. I've been the director of an art fair. I'm now the director of an institution. My husband had a gallery that I worked at. And I worked at galleries for a long time, too. And with each role, the way people treat you completely changes, mm-hmm. right? And
mm-hmm.
you're just like, hey, I'm the same person.
Yeah,
I'm the same person. I have the same ideas. But it's really interesting how, you know, different roles have a different level of respect or have a different, you know, in the pecking order. And unfortunately, being a gallerist is pretty low because I know one of the moments that when my husband got very close to deciding he wanted to close the gallery was when an artist he represented won a very prestigious award, and he had made the application and paid the application fee and, you know, given that artist several solo shows and, you know, again, supported extremely complicated conceptual pieces that would never sell, that cost thousands and thousands of dollars for him to produce and in, you know, biennales or whatever. And the artist got up and thanked pretty much everybody. Except him.
Mm-hmm.
Thanked her professor, thanked her parents, thanked the curator who'd put her name on the list for the show. You know, and didn't thank. And he was just devastated, devastated. And
you know,
and again, I don't think it was necessarily done on purpose, but it's kind of like that thing of like, oh, yeah, the gallery's just there to like sell my work, you know. And it's and I think a gallerist, a true gallerist, does so much more. And unfortunately, because we live in this world where even though, you know, we all want to be paid for our work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's still, for creative people, there's somehow this sellout factor. Like, as soon as you start being successful, you're a sellout.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're a musician or whether you are, you know, an artist or whatever, if you become too successful. And so, of course, being a gallerist is like, you know, you're not even making work. I mean, you are a creative person. Of course you are. But you're not seen as a creative person, right? You're seen as just the guy in the suit.
Well, it definitely takes a creative person to properly present the work.
Absolutely.
To properly speak about the work.
Yeah.
To properly, you know who it's going to, you know, affect. And that's something that artists, I think, you know, they kind of don't really think about much, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But I think slowly but surely, I mean, not, mind you, I'm grossly generalizing. There are some artists that are incredible, you know, again, after these 13 years, I'm now, you know, the gallery, I closed the brick and mortar, but I'm going nomad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
my last Samson Project still exists.
Yeah.
But it exists not in a physical space, but just it kind of is your aura.
Well, kind of, because again, as I speak about the ideas, you know, my last exhibition at the gallery was called Immigrancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically what's the difference between a tourist, an expat, an immigrant, a refugee? You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of, there's slight differences, but they're, you know, it's all about human flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm now looking, you know, for example, right now I have a project up by Steve Locke for Prospect New Orleans, which is this biennial that happens in New Orleans.
And by the way, we have a Bahamian artist in that show too.
Bar Monroe.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's a project that's very dear to my heart. And it's the first nomad project because it's basically Steve Locke is like my big brother. I met him at Skowhegan years ago, mm-hmm. over a decade ago. And it's in my little brother's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and the show's called Family Pictures, and it's very, very visceral photographs of slave history, basically. And it's just kind of this is exactly what I want to start.
Yeah, but they're put in. I think what's interesting is there are images that we're all familiar with, images of lynching or black wet nurses with mm-hmm. white babies and things that, you know, we've become sort of, you know, we've seen in history books. But the artist has put those pictures in those kind of pre-made frames that you can buy from like a Home Depot that say, best vacation ever, or
this was our honeymoon,
you know, had fun doing this, didn't we? And so there's this contrast between these kind of, and that's why they're called family pictures. So it's, again, it's kind of contrasting this idea. And also this like very bizarre idea, I think in the slavery period, there were people that were like, oh yeah, the house slaves are like part of the family, you know, like really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's kind of questioning that whole narrative.
Yeah. All the images are on stevelock.com or on samsonprojects.com. You can see them. I mean, of course you need to see them. But that's the kind of project I want to start doing. And so, like, you know, now I'm in this winter, and I'm actually spending my first winter with my wife in over a decade together. And I'm just kind of...
Not because they don't love each other, but because she's a competitive horse rider, and she has to spend the whole winter in Florida competing. So,
yeah, that's where her business is. But, yeah, so now I'm running around just kind of, you know, and I've been coming to the Bahamas for a bit, so... I'm thinking about projects maybe in the Bahamas.
Yay!
I'm thinking of projects in the Dominican Republic. I've had contacts in Haiti for a long time. I'm thinking about projects there. My little brother works part-time in Cuba, so I've gone to the Havana Biennial.
His little brother, who's like 42 and a dad, so it makes him sound like he's 15.
He's
but
32.
Okay,
he's
32, but okay, but he's a grown-up man.
But you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think right now for me, the Caribbean diaspora, because of mm-hmm. its migratory situation and also its post-colonial history, is something that I really feel that needs to be. And, you know, to a certain degree, I think I might want to, instead of doing projects down here, bring projects from here to
up
the U.S.
there, yeah. Well, that's what could be really, really exciting
exactly.
for.
And
we're going to talk more about that after the break. Perfect timing. So that's just where we wanted to be. So we are speaking with Camila Alvarez, who is a... former gallerist and museum professional, and you got your master's in museum studies at Harvard, right?
Yeah.
And a Dominican American who spends a lot of time in the Caribbean, and we are speaking about, you know, what we can do to take the Caribbean to the world and different issues in the art world, and we're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.